from the recovered files of Dr. Tripiti Lazrali, disgraced Philistine bioweapons engineer, recovered and declassified 438 Wayward Myriad. 2. Dr. Tripiti Lazrali, MD, PhD. From Rager Yespin, editor, The Federal Starscape Journal of Advanced Biology. Thank you for your submission to the FSJAB. The FSJAP is a non-profit journal of scientific research and discovery and is sustained by the generosity and passion of the biological research community. We reviewed the article you submitted on the effects of deliberately stunted flash cloning, and we have unfortunately come to the decision not to publish it. Your research is very ambitious, but there are concerns both of scientific rigor and of ethics that make your article unsuitable for publication. While you rightly point out in the piece that making deliberate mistakes in the cloning process has yet to be ruled illegal, the Federated Courts seem on the verge of closing this loophole. Legality besides, it is an uncomfortable subject matter, to say the least. I spoke with several others here at the journal, and we agreed that regardless of law, to make a living creature wrong on purpose feels unethical, to say nothing of the oaths you must have sworn as an MD. Related to that, several techniques you cite in this article are clearly illegal, and thus I am also writing as a professional courtesy to inform you that as a scientific journal, we are legally obligated to report such violations as per Irem Codex 137.8.3.9. The DCIC has informed us that they will be investigating the matter further, and the FSJAB does not comment on or involve itself with an ongoing investigation, so this will be our last contact until the matter is resolved. Wishing you the best. Rager Yespin. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Scanlaid Tabletop, and in particular, our Beam Saber campaign, The Wayward Line. I'm Six Detmar. You can find me on Twitter at Six Detmar, SixDetmar, and my work at ScanlaidMedia.com or Patreon.com/ScanlaidMedia. Today, I will be your game manager.
Ooh.
You know what that sound was, Nick? That was you volunteering.
Pick me.
Nick, who are you? What's your deal?
Am I the game manager? Okay, I mean, I wasn't prepared, but that sounds good. I'll be playing the game manager. Can I be the assistant to the game manager?
I mean, it would be great assistance if you would do your fucking job right now.
What did I volunteer for?
Say who you are, say where people can find you, say your character name. What are you doing? Who's on first right now?
I'm Nick. I'm playing Risto, aka the call sign Achilles.
Boo, 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 boo.
And you can find me on Bottle Crow with Six. Unless.
Hi, I'm Andrea. You can find me on Tumblr, I guess, because I did that on a whim.
Hell
before.
Yeah.
Hatomata yeah. Is the only truth. And I am going to be playing Control, I think. I'm a controller, right? No, I'm not.
You have never been a controller.
No. Okay, I'm forgiveness.
Never once been in control.
I'm a robot. Beep boop.
All right. Good to have a robot on board. We're in a sort of a robot paradise. It's not paradise.
Been
it's
spending
place,
all my life
place with robots.
Living in a robot paradise.
June, what about you?
Well, I am June Baker. You can't find me on Twitter at JuneBerryCake right now because I'm private until I find a job. But you can find my voice on the other Scanline Tabletop campaign, Embers of War. And in this campaign, I'll be playing Fane Phalanx, the Fox Lady.
I mean, this will go up, like, it'll have been 4 days by the time this goes up. You'll have a job by then.
That's a lot of days.
I mean, I have a job. I just want a different one, you know?
Yeah, I really do. all right. Well, the folks at home will have gotten a nice little intro there, maybe a previously on. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think that far ahead. But for you, my players, I have a special present.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to tell you what happened because you probably don't remember.
What are you talking
Ready?
About? I'm just gonna, I'll deafen.
I can remember pretty well.
That's true. I figured June would probably know. But so you're on the space station, right?
Right.
You are trying to get the data of Dr. Lazzarelli's work, also capture or kill Dr. Lazzarelli themselves. And you've gone three different ways. Upstairs, we have Fane, who is in the lab doing a bit of a download. I think you just sort of like slipped out to try and track the Irem squad that has been prowling around, as I recall, when we last left off. Hadn't had any results from that. It's just something you were looking into next.
Mm-hmm.
Risto, you had an encounter with two members of Control in orange jumpsuits moving some trash, and they made you put on an orange jumpsuit as you made up a cover name, and were invited to continue to explore the sort of behind-the-scenes area, the you know, employees-only zone.
Mm-hmm. I got to meet the trash men. You know, they told me what the word was.
Yeah. Yeah, you made this joke last time, too.
Did I? I actually forgot. Genuinely forgot.
And Forgiveness, you had a nice conversation with a tall robot guarding a building, who then directed you to talk to Hattrick, who is a robot connected to a bunch of servers, who seems a little bit smarter than the others, who sort of gave you a bit of a lay of the land, and you were able to reestablish contact with Big Jasper, just in time for Jasper to explain that there appear to be some frames out there firing on the station intermittently.
Right. That sure did happen.
Yeah.
It did happen.
We did learn that there are defensive frames on the station, but they are currently not active because the threat is too far away for them to read.
They have they are active in the sense that they are turned on. Right. They're just sort of like, you know,
hell yeah,
standing at the edge of their aggro range staring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Lazzarelli's dead. You got that one, right, too.
Yeah, but apparently their research is going to be complete soon, so maybe they won't be dead soon. Who knows?
Unclear. Unclear. Since we've so effectively split the party, who wants to go first?
Well, okay.
I had an idea for...
Oh, go ahead. You spoke first. You volunteered.
I mean, I feel like...
Everyone else stepped backwards.
I feel like Fane has a couple of things in mind for what her, objectives are. Of, one, locate the infiltrating, Irem party. And two, find any other labs that are not connected to the cloning lab to make sure that she gets all the data, because she wants to do a thorough job up here.
Okay. All right. Which would you like to prioritize?
I think I'm going to do a little survey to... I think the survey is going to probably give me the lay of the land of, where can I, move to that is not going to be in the way... that is not going to run into these... into the other force.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That seems perfectly reasonable to me. Go ahead and drop those dice in the manner of a fat beat.
Let's see. Rolling two already. I'm thinking... Is this just... what position am I in?
Great question. I'll make it controlled.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like I have not yet drawn attention to myself, so it makes sense.
You haven't? I mean, there is an argument to be made that there are five stealth murderers around that you've lost track of, but, you know.
Quickly roll before six.
That's convinces
themselves.
That's me being mean. So,
yeah, I am invisible, though. Or camoed?
You're not very visible.
But that is a six already.
That is a six. All right. Okay. Do you have any survey questions, or do you just want what you know? I guess I give you information first, right? Information, and then you can ask questions is sort of how this works.
Okay. I guess starting from questions that I have in my head.
Hold up on the questions ahead. Because you get information for free, and then you ask questions, and you won't waste a question on something I'm already going to tell you.
Okay. So thank you.
All right. Here is what you're getting. You are seeing that several other doors on this layer area, pretty much the whole upper ring has been checked out. You can tell that, like, there has been some, you know, some work. Most places they just hacked it open. Some places they took a bit more of a physical approach, but they have swept the top area and have moved on from that. This Irem squad. You do see, I think, one member who you recognize as the sniper from earlier, who has repositioned for a better vantage point with some cover, but is still just sort of in Overwatch mode, as it were. No relation to the game.
Dang it.
And let's see, what else do we get here? I think you see that a lot of this upper area is, like, storage, honestly. Because, you know, some of these doors have been stuck open because they've just been kind of busted open, and you can recognize, you know, the door styles and stuff and make connections. There is a lot of storage up here, both for, like, you know, just machine parts and cloning tools. It seems like this station has a lot of rooms that were repurposed, because once upon a time, a lot of people lived here doing research and various work, and not just under Dr. Lazrali, several other projects as well. They seem to be pretty much gone by this point, as far as you can tell. And give you one more interesting thing. I think you can tell that there is more than one of them. I don't think you can tell exactly because they're far enough away at this point, but you recognize sort of the movement pattern. Mm-hmm. There is more than one of them, but probably not all four of them, about three floors down doing a sweep. And they're moving a little more. They're moving with a little more purpose than the sweep up above. It's like they have something specific in mind.
Interesting. Okay, so before I act next, a couple questions being... Well, actually, that is probably what my next question would have been. Like, where is a nearby group? Or what floor are they currently on? The biggest group of them, so...
Yeah, you can see... So there are five total... You know where the sniper is, so that's one. And then you know where two to three, you would guess, are in this group. You can't tell. Mm-hmm. So more than one, less than four.
Sure. And... You said that a lot of the upper floor was storage. They have, like... Mm-hmm. They have opened up these doors. So I could slip in, especially if we take care of this force and just, like, have free time, that would probably be a good time to just, like, check through and see if there's anything I missed. But for right now, we should probably take care of them. I think Fane is going to get on comms and call in. Where are people's positions?
I've infiltrated the trash network.
Where is that on the ship?
It's through the door I went through. There seems to be corridors along the outside.
Do they have stairs going up and down the
station? Yep, apparently I just fit in here. There's a bunch of clones here. I guess all of the control are control experiments. What that means, I'm not sure.
Forgiveness?
Uh-huh.
Where are you right now?
Yes, I am speaking with Hat Trick.
Bless you.
Hat Trick.
Okay.
No further questions.
Okay, the next thing I want to do, like, this is probably going to be a little mean toward Risto,
really?
So...
Gang, you had her say hat trick twice. You're not going to go for the third one? It's hat trick. It's right there.
Damn. We're just not good at this. Nick, is it okay if Fane...
Sure.
Is a little mean toward Risto.
Sure.
Is very mean,
sure.
Probably.
Yep.
Risto, could you make your way to the third floor? This or I'm guess like whatever the floor is that she had seen the the group of Irem forces.
And was that all five of them, or
not all five?
Okay. Third floor.
She's not telling you that there are those there, like there are those forces there. But I think she will at least say, be sure to keep on your guard, because the Irem forces are around.
I'm not going to make this a thing, but it is third from the top.
Gotcha.
Okay.
It's very boring to have this be a misunderstanding.
Third from the top out of five floors?
Oh, there are a lot more than five floors.
Oh, okay, I thought you said five floors earlier. My bad, I misheard you.
Must have been a misunderstanding. There are significantly more than five floors.
From the top, all right, what am I heading for?
Yes, I'm suggesting you go, you come to third from the top.
Okay, what am I headed to? What am I looking for up here?
I think that it would be, I need a good vantage point on the robots below. She lies.
I'm gonna go ahead and, what is the equivalent in this? I want to tell if she's lying.
Oh, sure. Well, this would be a contested role.
Okay.
I believe. So let's see. Looking at...
Is this consort?
I think this is probably like you putting together how Fane talks. So it's probably your study versus Fane's sway.
Right, probably.
Yeah. So that's just both of you rolling a d6, and whoever gets higher wins. And if you roll a 1, I'll be mean for some reason, even though that's not how this is supposed to work.
Whoo!
Wahahaha! Okay, it's a 5 from Risto.
I like it.
That is a 4 on my end. So you do hear, that last bit is not quite true.
Mm-hmm. I think what you probably get, it's pretty, you beat it by 1. So what I'm going to say is you can tell that some things are being omitted. I do think you've gotten that sense multiple times over the course of your brief relationship with Fane.
Yep.
But this one seems perhaps a little more pointed.
Gotcha.
Fane also, you are aware of Fane's position, and you would know that Fane already has a good vantage point on the robots.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Vantage point on the robots.
I chose a bad lie. 6.
What are they doing down there?
I actually, I don't know from here. I, need to, I'm going to be hunting for, Irem forces up here. And she's going to cut the contact. And I think that she's going to pull out a little tablet and start messing around with it.
Playing Angry Birds. Oh.
Okay. You don't need to use them right now. I will remind you, you have some survey questions.
Oh. The information you gave me was a lot, so I couldn't think of many more.
Okay. Part of the fun thing, I don't know, what I gave you and what I will tend to give you is just literally like this is the image in front of you. What survey can provide via questions, and often there are questions, like what is about to happen that delve into the realm of your character's interpretation.
Yeah, okay, I got it. I got one. Where is the stair... Wait, where... Can I predict that Risto is going to encounter the Irem forces on the third to the top level?
You're looking at the way they're moving, and I think you're looking at like notable targets because you're able to put together sort of like what there's a pattern to what doors and security devices mean, what kind of room it is, right? You're like, okay, this sort of thing means it's probably a warehouse. This is probably, you know, like a, you know, a dorm or something, right? You're figuring these things out. And there is a access way that is a larger door, like, and it is the style of door that's like retracts into the ceiling, like a big gate. It has a cup, like a pair of like lights that no doubt would like light up and spin like a siren, but you know, without the sound, when it's opening. So it is like some sort of freight or something, and its security measures seem notable. Probably that is where they're headed. If they're going to bump into Risto, it's because Risto will end up behind there. You do not have a great idea of where Risto is, because Risto is kind of in the arteries of this place that you just can't see from here.
That's fair. But I think that that is enough information for me to go on. Thank you.
Sure.
I think Risto, you know, he just went through the door after past like the incinerator and stuff, you know, looking around.
Mm-hmm.
I think he turns back around and sees, you know, there's still the two guys in jumpsuits, and just kind of asks them, like, you know, hey guys, what's on that the third of the top floor? Is there anything good up there?
Chuck thinks for a second, and he says, I think they got a bunch of you know, abandoned dorms. There's a break room up there. It has pretty good coffee. I think it was one of the doctor's assistants had a little. It was his favorite break room, so he has a good coffee set up there.
Coffee.
Oh, that might be one of the places you can get access to the hangar. I think isn't that that's not really relevant to what we do. That's more the suitcases, you know. But I think you might be able to get hangar access from there.
Okay, hangar and I have coffee access. Sorry, coffee.
Yes, coffee. You remember coffee.
Is that the leaf water?
It's the bean soup.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm not a... You know, maybe it's... Do like... Sorry, I'm a little fuzzy. Maybe I should just go try it. Like, I'm sure, like... I don't know. We're not all completely the same, right?
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean, listen, wide? I mean, okay. you're a different species than us. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Kryn like their coffee. They might not like their coffee.
I could like it like I like my women. Rocks.
If your core starts racing, he seems really uncertain about this turn of phrase. It's okay. It's a substance called caffeine. It'll stop in a bit. Just, you know, caffeine. Try and calm down. All right.
Okay. Bean soup, caffeine, hangar. And hangar is... Uh-huh. That's the steak.
Oh, some people put milk in their soup.
Okay, milk in the soup. Steak. Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
He kicks an aluminum can towards Chuck, just on his way out.
I think Chuck like hacky sacks it and tries to hacky sack it into the incinerator, and it just falls short.
Can I assist?
That's cool.
Can I like try to assist him?
You can take two stress.
I considered it, but somehow I already have three.
It depends on relationship. These two are really close.
This is true. It's true. Okay. I think I'm going to just start walking around. Do like how close was I to the top on the floor we came in?
I mean, it's sort of a...
Is it a long walk, short pier type situation?
It's a... You know, I think that depends on our role, because I think, like, genuinely, it is a case of, like... You don't necessarily, you know where you're trying to get, but you don't know how to get there. Mm-hmm. And there are long ways to get there and short ways to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I want to know dramatically what is the tenor of this, right? Is this like, you know, Risto gun out, you know, like doing the hustle? Is this Risto trying to be cloak and dagger? Is this Risto trying to play like he belongs here? What's the play?
This is a casual confidence Risto. You know, apparently, like, okay. Apparently he belongs here, but he's not trying to stick out. He's just trying to hide in and hide in plain sight.
Okay. I did try to give it you one of the skills you actually have, but...
I move with grace and precision.
No, buddy, you said you're acting like you belong here. This is probably a consort. Could be a sway. I could give you good sway. I could be nice.
Unbelievable.
But when I give you the chance and then you say, no, it's definitely not that, then you got to hold that L, son.
Grace and precision. As if he knows what he's doing. He's just walking through, not trying to be seen. He's graceful. He's a beautiful, rock man. He's literally a sculptor, literally a work of art. Okay, it's a five.
See, what are you even getting? You were getting all excited. It's fine. It's a partial success.
Except in this game, it's like, oh, you're in a partial.
Yeah, well, okay. So I think you are moving up that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you start moving up, you like find a staircase in the hallway, another staircase. There's a lot of empty space around here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was used to be a very bustling station, and now it is significantly less so. You do notice there aren't very many, if any, robots along here. I think you find like one or two of the little workers, but mostly this place is deserted from them.
Are they the same type of worker? Like they're not hobo workers. They're like
great question. They look different.
They're
These ones
built
look like
different.
They have a slightly different design.
I see.
Yeah, yeah. If you'd gotten a six, I'd give you something very lucky. But no, I think it's just like, okay, these ones seem like they are, like, they're certainly, the ones you saw before were, like, outside labor. Mm-hmm. These ones are not outside labor. More than that, it's a little hard to tell. Okay. But, and you see that there is a, you do eventually stumble onto a, some, like, directions on the wall helping you find the hangar. Start heading in that direction. Unless you're going for coffee. Were you going for coffee?
I want to get to that floor.
Right. Basically, it's a situation where, like, you're taking the stairs up, mm-hmm. but at a certain point, the stairs branch. There are different staircases that are going to lead you to different parts of that floor.
Oh, is there, like, a sign to coffee?
Yeah, well, there is a sign to the break room.
A sign to... Oh, the break room. Okay. I think...
You're hoping it's the right one.
Yeah. Do I hear anything, like, coming from the break room? Like, down that hallway?
I think it's too far away for you to judge. I mean, I'll give you, GM to player here. Break room is the safe option as far as you will be further away from things that are important, but you will be less in the line of fire. Hangar is going to get you better information and better position as far as, like, future action, mm-hmm. but also will put you in more danger.
Right.
Obviously, Risto doesn't know that necessarily, but I can tell you that.
I mean, yeah, I could figure it too. Thank you. I think from here, so I mean, there's still not a lot of people around from here. Like, I don't see anything down the hallway towards coffee. I don't, you know, get a nice whiff of bean juice or anything wafting. I assume.
No, nothing particular.
Then I think I'm going to try to kind of cling to a wall or stealthily basically approach the hangar. Is it just like a hangar access sign or?
I think you don't quite make it there before, get close enough for that information to be relevant before the next thing happens.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Sure.
Which is that you are sidling along the wall, following the signs, and a door in front of you opens. It slides open. It's a big door. And it opens with a hiss, and there's a little bit, like, you see some blinking lights. And then a moment later, it closes, and you didn't see anyone come in.
Okay.
Opens with a hiss. What would you like to do?
What size was this door?
Big. You would imagine that, I mean, the recluse could fit through pretty comfortably, mm-hmm. right? Even a combat frame could probably, like, duck and put a hand on the upper part of the frame and get through.
Mm-hmm.
It is a significant door situation.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to just kind of slowly approach and just look, like, just slowly approach the door, hiding. He's trying to, like, see if there's like a window or try to tell.
Talk to me about your military experience.
Military.
You have Yeah, you, well, combat, let's say. You have fought along frontier and border worlds as a giant killer, right? You've been on foot fighting frames, mostly. Occasionally, you also fight, you know, like drop ships, and sometimes just infantry. Are you, have you, like, had to deal with, like, oh, and then, you know, Irem drops off a kill squad, or, like, how, like, has it mostly just been out-and-out fighting?
It's less out-and-out fighting. I mean, he can out-and-out fight, but he doesn't last very long in comparison to a metal thing. That's, like, part of your training. It's training as a giant killer. So, you basically try to, he tries to avoid out-and-out fighting until it happens, and then it really happens.
I see. Okay, I think one of the other giant killers you trained with, right, one of the more senior ones, had a sort of an optical camouflage, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, it was really funny because they would also do like grappling hook stuff with that, and it was like you could, there is no better way to like demonstrate the flaws with this technology than trying to use it while swinging at high speeds on a grappling hook.
Just kind of hurts your eyes. Got,
yeah, it makes it like they weren't trying to necessarily be invisible. They were trying to make it hard for someone to line up a shot as they were zooming in. But you have seen this technology at use, and you can tell that over by the door, it is blurry in a way that suggests optic camouflage.
Gotcha.
And as you're watching, it no longer is blurry. It settles. And it just looks normal.
Did I get an idea of size? Probably
a person at rest. Two people standing close together.
Okay, not like a frame is what I was thinking about. Okay.
No. This is human size, and yeah, I think you are able to tell very likely two people.
How close am I to the door?
You are far enough away because, like, you had plenty of warning because this thing, like, this is a big door and it had a big hiss and, you know, the lights and everything. So you were able to stop well in advance. You could theoretically be seen from there if they were looking for you, but reasonably likely they haven't. You might call it a risky situation.
I think I'm quickly going to open comms and say, I got two cloaked baddies. Then that's it. Just stay there, watching the last position.
Are you inside the hangar?
Nope. Just very quiet, you know, quietly into my my BlackBerry. I have a BlackBerry.
Right, of course.
I mean,
so for kids. Go ahead.
I was gonna ask like exact positioning, but it's kind of unnecessary. Like,
you could, Aristo wouldn't respond probably at this point.
That's fine.
Trying to be quiet.
Forgiveness.
Yes.
So yeah, as we last left off, you were sort of rather generally giving Big Jasper the order to engage.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I'm telling Jasper. I mean, if I remember right, I had given Jasper a bribe, and in exchange, Jasper will help take out these outside forces. I think I would like to.
Was Jasper trying to pull aggro on the station's baddies?
Yeah, I believe the plan was to get these enemies to move close enough to be engaged on by the station.
Right, yeah. So I think Jasper is going to stay a long distance away and is just going to be firing pot shots to either push the baddies closer to the station to be out of range of Jasper or to pull aggro away from the station. And then Jasper is a badass and hopefully can take care of them.
Jasper's badass adjacent.
Badass adjacent. He's a cohort.
Can I, for the audience's sake, because I don't think we actually, like, described it last time, who's Jasper?
Jasper is my grumpy AI, that is a, a piece of gear that the scout has is a hunter robot, and I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I had a, like, cloud computing hunter robot that was also in my mech and was like a, or in my, what are we calling them, vehicles in this?
Frame is the specific, okay. But you know, listen, I'm not gonna assist you stay on brand.
Jasper can be in multiple places, multiple instances simultaneously that generally stay networked together. Sometimes they'll lose communication and then resync. So that is who Jasper is.
Yeah, I just wanted the audience to know that Jasper is currently sitting in your frame outside of the station, which is not something we covered last episode, I think.
That was all session one, but not episode one. Ooh. So.
Right.
The cut content. Useful
context. Yes, indeed. It kind of was more like reverberated content. It was a weird, like, static content. Anyway.
Dynamic content.
Okay, I think...
So, to me, it seems like what we're trying to do is roll a command using your cohort, Jasper.
Sure, we can do that. I was not expecting that to be what this is. I kind of figured that would happen on its own separately, but I can poorly roll command.
Well, I mean, I can't, like...
Wait, no. Here is what it is. It is a sway because I gave Jasper a bribe of...
Well, the issue is, mechanically speaking, I mean, I'm willing to bend some things mechanically, but I can't just have you start with a second character.
Damn it.
Right?
Okay.
That's not very fair.
Uh-huh.
It is a stretch that I'm perfectly willing to make, but it is a stretch to give you a free cohort here in Jasper.
Right.
I'm willing to do that. But when cohorts do stuff, basically it is like either you trade directly, you trade consequences for it, where it's like, okay, they do this and this is what it costs them.
Right.
Or you roll command to try and keep them from, you know, being burned out by their action.
Right. Okay. Okay. I'll push myself for this, I think is what I'll do. Let's see. Is there anything else here that I could do that would make this better for me?
So I will give you an option here, given the circumstance. Jasper is, of course, in your Nova.
Yes.
And you have already burned, I believe, efficient heat sinks.
Yes.
But that leaves you with endothermal generators and melting aura as quirks you could burn. You could also burn grumpy AI, but that seems like the whole exact thing you're trying to avoid right now.
Right.
To get another die here.
In addition to pushing myself, you are saying you will let me expend a quirk for another dice for this.
Okay. For another die. So I'm letting you use sort of both sort of stress boosts, as it were.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do that. I'll say Jasper is probably because Jasper is whimsical and not always obedient. I don't trust Jasper to turn on the endothermal generators themselves all the way. In case Jasper decides to do something that he's not supposed to with it. But I think in this situation here, I'm like putting in whatever override code I need to the vehicle to give Jasper full pilot control. And full ability to
up, up, down, down,
activate those generators and tell Jasper to do so. High heat is perfectly fine. get them off the station or move them closer to the station.
Okay. I think we're going with probably, judging by the order of the day, I think your high-energy particle incinerator, the HEPI,
yep,
is probably not doing its full blast mode, but doing a lower energy, higher firing rate mode. Uh-huh. Go ahead and roll for me, please.
Okay. I'm rolling command. I'm rolling with two dice from pushing myself twice. What is the position and effect of this?
This has to be risky.
Uh-huh.
I think it's standard effect. I think that's fine.
Let's see. Action. Command. Risky. Standard. Number of dice. 2. Roll. It is a 4. Just barely.
Yes. Yes. A partial success here. I think... Oh. Gosh. I have consequences lined up that are like character specific, and it's like, this isn't your turn. I could do it to you, but it's not doesn't feel particularly fair. So I think Jasper opens fire. I think is able to share like picture with you as they fire. There is some interference, so it's not the highest quality picture, but you're able to see that there are 3 frames outside of you know, the effective range of whatever the station's defenses are, which you can't see from this angle. 2 of them are fairly standard models, and one of them seems to be probably, I don't know, your ace, your commander, something.
Uh-huh.
The opening shots, I'll give you a couple things here. So first of all, the reaction time on the... I'm just going to say commander for now, right?
Uh-huh.
The reaction time on the commander unit is unreal. Because the first shot, like, wouldn't have been a great hit, but just very luckily would have hit this thing. And it's like... It is dodging... It's like the startup of the dodge is like basically the same time the trigger is pulled. It's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
The other two, like, don't even start to dodge until this one has dodged a shot, and then, like, oh shit, and they start to try and get out of the way, and, there is a moment, and they start to try and close in, right?
On Jasper.
Yes.
Okay.
And closer to the station, which is, of course, your goal here.
Awesome.
And one of them, the commander... does fire back.
Okay.
And it's going to be a solid hit unless, you know, you do something about that.
All right. Okay. I could resist that. I assume that is damage to the vehicle, correct?
It is damage to the vehicle. That's correct.
Let's see. I could resist that, but that is probably not a thing that I'd be good at resisting unless I can, well, okay. What is the pitch for how I could resist this in an acuity fashion? That would be,
seeing where the blast is coming from, or seeing like the gun being aimed and, ready to fire before the shot gets... fired off.
Let's do that and go a little further. Jasper positioned himself, or I told Jasper to position himself in such a way that one of the many asteroids in this area surrounding the station would be flying by at the time that the commander would be reacting to the shot. So it is about positioning cleverly so that very luckily the shot is intercepted. How is that?
I am willing to take that. You do know what that means though. Because that means that it that what your your resistance ability for vehicles decreases the number of quirks you have to spend. That means you still have to burn one quirk.
Yes, but I have to burn one quirk instead of three quirks or four quirks.
Yes.
So yes. I will take that. And I think this is...
Which quirk are we burning?
This is probably burning Grumpy AI here, because I think this is Jasper doing his best at lining things up.
You know, I can even give it one more, I think, to make this make a little more sense and, mm-hmm. and also help with some things that are happening right here, behind the scenes, as it were. I mean, not behind the scenes, in the scene. There's a character in the scene doing things, you just don't know what. Jasper also, I think you see the feed get a little erratic, and Jasper's, like, communication to you, like, when you are connected to Jasper, is it just video feed, or are, like, you getting a stream of Jasper's, like, thoughts or observations, or how does it, like, are you getting, like, a code feed?
Yeah, I think probably closer to the latter. I don't think there's a visual feed. I think it's just, I mean, because we're both robots here, and I think Forgiveness mm-hmm. is generally a pretty humanoid robot, but I do think that she has a good connection with Jasper and is perfectly capable here of like, just interpreting the direct, like, transmission of, like, here is the data that Jasper is receiving of a visual sensor input from the vehicle, etc. I don't think that she needs to recreate that into an image to understand and process that.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I think it is just like stream of packets being transmitted over the distance.
I guess if you imagine Jasper's feed to you as like a page of like text code, uh-huh. right?
Mm-hmm.
What starts to happen is you start getting packet loss, you start getting groups of like 5 to 8 characters just missing.
Ah.
And the frequency of that increases. Like, it starts happening more and more until the feed dies.
Okay. Great. Lovely. Love that. I think I want to head to the hangar too. Then.
That sounds, you know, 2-player characters in the same place. Y'all are spoiling.
What are you even
going
to do? Maybe we need a break for 6 to, you know, plan.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't ready for this. Okay. Yeah, I think you start to head that way. Mm-hmm. That'll take a minute, which gives me time for some other things to go down, right? First of all, Fane, the sniper, clearly is answering a call.
Okay.
Like, you see the telltale sign of them, like, I think they are in a position where they are, like, doing a partial cloak, like, part of their body is cloaked so that if you saw them from behind, but they are not cloaking sort of their, like, their face and their rifle and parts of their suit, and you know from experience that if you try and snipe while cloaked, it fucks with the light and you can't get a clean shot. You can't see well enough, mm-hmm. right? It's fine enough to, like, look, but for lining up a sniper shot, it is not reliable. And so that is why. And you'd see the telltale sign of them, like, you know, hand by the ear, responding to some sort of situation. For Risto,
mm-hmm.
2 people by the door decloak. And you see, it is 2 Philistines, 2 fox people. One of them is holding a little carbine, just a very, like, a fairly standard, like, personal, like, competent mm-hmm. but personal defense weapon, not a proper just infantry a car, weapon, a yeah. vehicle crew Got kind it. Of thing. The other one has a large pistol that borders on, like, rifle territory, but it doesn't have a stock, and they're holding it in one hand. And in the other hand, they break off a little metal, like, flashlight, like it's clipped on, like, through a carabiner to their hip.
Oh, very nice.
And they pop it off, and a pair of like metal rails, like thin rails, sort of pop out of the base of the flashlight and go a ways down. And this is a plasma blade. A plasma blade appears between the two rails.
Interesting.
And you know the signs well enough to know that this is them switching from stealth mode to go time.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd quietly relay that into comms. Like, they're now visible, and one has a lightsaber. I mean, plasma blade.
Have they seen you?
They haven't. However, their lawyers have. Walt Disney is very angry no, about the Mr. words Walt. That just left your mouth.
You have to bleep it, yeah. Don't know if they've seen me.
If they haven't seen you, then seems like you have the upper hand.
What's going on out there?
Just remind me, is the door open to where Risto and the two are? Like, is
no, it closed behind
it
me.
Closed the so they're closed to the outside. So
yes.
Well, I can assure you, you're not in range of the sniper at the moment.
Forgiveness?
Yes.
How's your soccer?
I'm heading there.
Oh, here?
Yes.
From Hattrick's location there, the best way is through the outside. Like, that's the most obvious way, is to head, you know, back outside and up through sort of the inner rings, the inner decks, right? Uh-huh. Are you doing that, or are you trying to find another route?
No, I'll take the most obvious route. You know, whatever.
Okay. Fane?
Mm-hmm.
Sniper just started paying attention to something else.
Yeah, I figured. I think I might as well do it now. I want to have basically I want the camera, like, if you're okay with this, the camera focuses on the sniper looking through the scope, and then behind them a pistol to their head.
You will have to make a approach. I think it's a role to get in the position for this scene to go down that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I am fine with you going for that, sure.
Okay. I'm going to push myself for a prowl. I'm going to, I guess, try to invoke my, like, special ability, Ghost. You are not negatively affected by quality or tier when you attempt to bypass security measures. I guess security measures could include just being noticed.
Yeah, it also, I think you have a moment where... I don't know, like, it's not your character's reaction isn't the same. Your character's reaction isn't, I see that I've bypassed this just regardless of quality or tier difference. But there is a moment where you're moving and just your instincts ping, right? You're just like your instincts are like lift your leg now, and you step over a laser trip mine.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense.
The sniper was covering the back. Yeah.
And
or actually, maybe you don't. I guess we're going to have to roll the scene.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, I step over the first, and I could step into the second.
Sure. Sure.
The one that is cleverly hidden behind the first. Wherever it's, prowl, yeah. This is, I assume, risky?
Yeah, sure. That makes sense to me.
Standard, great.
I'll give you a great. You've been watching this guy for a while.
Okay.
I say guy, you know, I mean that in the general sense. I'll,
you know, how
free intel.
How this characters are just guys. Them.
Yeah.
You your know, guys.
Just a little guy. Yeah.
Just a little one.
That is a six.
That is a six. Hell yeah. Very nice.
So yeah, I have, I happen to have a pistol as one of my gear I can take. And a firearm silencer.
I would recommend doing so. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, firearm silencer is freeload. Right. Okay.
I mean, with a six, I think could probably choose like the director of the scene, right? Like, is it Kubrick? You know.
I kind of want to just like
is
go
there a lens
with what
flare,
I,
you know, Abrams.
I think I guess want to go with what I was describing before and finish the shot of the sniper looking through the scope at Forgiveness. Then behind their head, the pistol. Then the camera moves further up to Fain holding the pistol, and the pistol fires.
Oh, you shoot. Ooh. Oh, okay. I've had a misunderstanding of this scene. All right.
It subverts
expectations.
Fain
isn't going to fuck around.
Okay.
The sniper's going to find out.
Yeah, let me think. Is there anything I can do for stretch here? No. All right. Let me think. You, this suit is like, it is a different make than yours, right? It is an Irem design, but there are certain commonalities, especially because you have multiple species that use spacesuits. And so there's sort of common, like, okay, this is the sort of design you do for a Philistin and mm-hmm. stuff, right? And you know that there is a sort of a back, the way the air gets vented in, there's sort of a back passageway, and that segment has to be lightly armored, because for that amount of thickness, it needs to, you know, have the air passageway, so it can't be all armor there. And you put one bullet in, and one bullet comes out the forehead down.
And I make sure to grab them to the, so they don't tumble off the side of the rail.
Okay. Yeah. They were posted up. They were, you know, like leaning with a little bit of cover. So that's, I think probably you could catch their rifle before it fell. Mm-hmm. That would have been a real threat, but I think the body itself is stable.
Okay. I guess I transmit over comms, one down.
Do we know it's Irem? We all know that it's the like Irem in terms of like uniform.
Yes.
I think that yes, we could probably confirm that at this point, but it was just a... actually, no. When Fain was sneaking around before, she was able to confirm that they were Irem.
Right.
Yes. We heard
talk. Okay. Okay, but we're still being bombarded. Okay, gotcha.
I am going to say two things, I guess. One is... no, just the one. Just the one. I will give you an opportunity to act like, just like, if you want your action to take place at the same time as this, Risto, if you don't take that opportunity, I will have things happen. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, that is kind of a threat, kind of not. It's just like, you know.
I get it.
Is Risto the kind of person who's going to just wait for things to happen to him?
Right.
Oh, am I deciding now?
Yeah, tell me right now whether Risto is going to make a move or if Risto is watching the situation and waiting for an opportunity.
Okay, so I
does
did
the camera
the
give
gun.
Us back-to-back action scenes? Or, you know, do we get something else?
They cloaked it. It was just two. We get back-to-back action scenes. So Risto has fine climbing gear. It's kind of the thing as the giant killer, you know, swinging around like grappling hook style. Risto is going to try to basically, like, you know, throws a grappling hook in that direction to try to yeet himself into them, using a fine anti-mecha blade, like big fancy blade, runs a current through the thick, and just going to try to clobber the two of them if they're standing close together.
So the plasma blade
yep.
that this fox person has is what you might call a normal anti-mecha blade. It is not fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And fine is not as in very thin. It is not a pen point description.
Versus
it
a
is
thick
a
anti-mecha blade.
Sort of an effectiveness, mm-hmm. right? I think under the right circumstance, and this is not that circumstance, unfortunately, well, you know what? I'm going to shut the fuck up and let you roll. I will decide exactly what the fuck it is.
Okay, yes.
But
Rister's just trying to slam his sword into the people recklessly.
That sounds
I mean,
like struggle
Risto
to
explodes.
Me.
Struggle. Interesting.
I mean, it is not impossible to roll wreck against people, but you do not wreck people. You wreck things. And so if you can explain how.
Okay. I'm trying to attack with pure strength, essentially. Just not even necessarily trying to. Not trying to execute these people.
So I guess like the attack with pure strength option on the wreck description is like, you could do this with wreck, but you probably will get a lesser effect for, or you could be, it could be more dangerous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think more dangerous is definitely the thing here.
That's all, yeah, that's kind of intentional. He has a fine anti-mecha blade that's like, it's relatively large, like, more brute strength type thing. It's, you know, finer. It's bigger. Just if they're right by the door, just trying to, with, you know, a giant ass plasma sword, run these people through into the door. Door be damned.
All right. Well, then,
and I'm accepting a collateral die as well, possibly. Oh, because you have some things planned, don't you?
I so do. Nick, that's very kind of you. So let me give you a couple of things here. First of all, just to say it, keep it on the tip of our tongues. One of your abilities, your special ability, is called David Song, which gives you additional die when you act in defense of your things.
Right.
This is not in defense of your ideology. You are not cutting these people down because you abhor their, you know, corrupting of mecha design.
Finish.
Now, I mean, if you have a counter to that.
It's more like I've been trying to think of how I will literally ever use this. Basically, Risto's ideology is that he hates frames and mechs. That's his whole deal. And that's why he's
It's going to be incredible fighting. For fighting frames. You're going to get to use it basically every time against a frame, pilot, or a frame engineer.
That can work. Okay. Yep.
I guess I should say a silhouette frame. There are some other frames. For example, I wouldn't give it to you against the recluse. Right. Because the recluse does not, you know, conflict with your ideology.
Well, okay.
As you presented it to me.
We can use this and that way.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yep. I think your collateral die...
tell me what you propose to do.
You're not, like, super knowledgeable about Beam Saber and its rules and stuff, right?
Nope.
Or Blades of the Dark, for that matter.
No.
Are you familiar with the concept of a rival move?
No.
Okay. So, in this game, everybody has a rival.
Right.
None of you have rivals on your character sheets.
I kind of just came up with one.
Oh, did you? That's interesting.
In my stuff, because I'm supposed to have a token of home, which is zero load.
Oh, you mean you just, like, wrote something down to have it on the sheet. Yeah. I got you. No, don't worry. You have a rival.
No, good.
Uh-huh. And this is me, like, the way rival moves work is that you can, as a GM, I can just make them.
Mm-hmm.
I can just make them whenever the hell I want. The reason I am making this a collateral die is because you didn't know you had one.
Oh, excellent.
And Risto also did not know they had one. So the collateral die here is introducing the rival in a way, because mechanically that's the fair thing to do. I don't currently have a rival for Forgiveness. I will say that. Fane, you know who your rival is, so
my rival is
society.
Yeah.
Say society. Uh-huh.
I mean, I feel like in your backstory, you kind of like took care of the rivals that you have, and you just you're looking for a new rival,
right? Exactly. They're
You've
all
been
dead.
Very tidy. Yeah, or are they? No, they are.
They are.
I'm not interested in bringing them back. Yeah. So okay. I'll give you your bonus die. Go ahead and roll. Desperate. Great.
Okay.
And also take an XP for rolling a desperate action.
Excellent. The X. Okay, it works. Jesus. Risto explodes. Right?
No, so you got a partial success. You got a 4.
Yeah, right. Great. So he throws a grappling hook and, like, is quite loud. And, like, red veins basically appear on his black rock body.
So you lunge forward and you ignite your anti-mecha blade, which I think has a stronger rail than it's sort of like it folds into place. It's not like this tiny little pop out little narrow supporter things.
Thank you.
And I think also you it takes a minute to it's an interesting, I think once it heats up, it takes a little bit of time to heat up, and so like once it is, it sort of glows a steady blue, but you can kind of burn a little extra power for like imagine it's like you're holding down the afterburner, as it were, to make it get hot fast, and the blade turns red for that.
Oh, fair enough.
And so you are zipping towards them and swinging this rather large glowing red energy blade across their bodies. And the good news is you bifurcate them. Or perhaps it's there are two of them, so they were kind of already bifurcated in a way.
Wow.
But you know what I'm saying. You've cut the two of them in half.
Okay.
But they get you two.
Risto is now bifurcated. So now there's two of me. Mechanically, I have two characters, right?
Our good friend Tackle, call sign Tackle, with the plasma blade, gets you through the shoulder, I would say, like, between shoulder and collarbone on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Look at your character sheet. Look at how...
What does armor do for...
Armor takes hits for you.
Okay. Which would work on a plasma blade.
It'd depend on the type of... Yeah, I mean, okay. I would let you take armor here if you were trying to take armor here. Because if you don't, you are taking... It's desperate is the thing, so it would be level 3 harm.
Mm-hmm.
Less than ideal.
Less than ideal. Yep. What would it be with armor?
With one well, how does armor versus you're gonna drop armor it down work. To level 2.
So armor is an abstract tool that you could say I have a particular thing on me that will help me weather this blow or redirect it in some way. So whatever you say it is, it'll work that way.
Unless I'm like that doesn't make any sense and is stupid.
Yeah, Risto, I mean, usually he has armor and heavy armor. You'll see it says I have 7. Gravity harness gives me 3 free load. So right. I've declared medium, so I can go up to 8. So this should be 7 of 8. 1, 2, 3.
Yep. Yeah, you're good. Okay. I think what given the nature of the weapon, what I'm going to give you here is there's basically it is a type of personal shield that basically burns out on use because it just goes, it basically detects an incoming hit and goes up to maximum energy and then burns out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just a little force field that catches the blade and turns it aside.
Okay. Yeah, and backstory lore-wise, Giant Killer, that's a sharp uniform. So it's, this armor is, a Giant Killer type thing. Like, this is a somewhat standard piece of, elite heavy armor.
Yeah, if you're fighting Max, I imagine you have to have pretty tough armor.
Yeah, because it's normally you would want something that can take, multiple bullets or something, right? That kind of thing. Giant Killer armor is even non, game engine in-universe is stuff where it's, it can only take one hit, but the size of that hit doesn't really matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, yeah, you hear a quick whir of it kicking in and then it burns out and falls off. It burns through the little, the way they're meant to be kind of disposable, even though they're not cheap. And it's mounted up on on top of your upper back, I think, by your shoulder blade. You hear it whir, you feel it vibrate, and then it burns through its strap and falls to the ground. It's broken.
Yep. That's one of a few, special boxes that I think Risto has. On his back.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are down to 2 remaining. Interesting, the 2 that remain. I didn't plan it like that, but that's how it goes, I guess. 2 remaining members of the squad. The hostile squad.
And Risto gets on the radio. 2 more down. I'm at the hangar. Door's clear.
Forgiveness, you can arrive at your leisure.
Yep. I want to get in a vehicle. There are vehicles here, right?
Oh, I see. Once you get to the hangar, I have to talk about what's in the hangar. Oh, do you okay. want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, before that, Rister's going to hide before the door opens.
Okay. Just to be clear. Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not just going to stand in front of the door.
And then Forgiveness is the one that walks in if that makes you come out. If not, you know, we'll have you know, a couple psychiatry after this mission. Uh-huh. You arrive in the hangar, and I think it is just in time to see a couple of micro-missiles sort of splash up against the low-level barrier protecting it from the outside. There are a bunch of little briefcase bots running around that are... They look a little different from the ones that were you met on your way in, but still, same basic. They're clearly workers. And they are readying several mecha for launch, several frames.
Are there... If I remember right, maybe I remember what you set up previously... Are there not mm-hmm. other frames that they are not setting up that need to be piloted by people that I could potentially pilot?
Unfortunately, there are a few frames that are not in use right now.
Uh-huh.
They don't have a cockpit. They have a briefcase-sized slot.
Ah. Okay.
That's not, you know, that isn't me saying it's not doable. That's me saying it is a more complicated role, right?
Right.
If you want to hack into this and ride it like it's a horse,
and that's,
you can do
that's
that.
That's not what I do. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Just not an offer.
How, and I still have no contact with Jasper.
I mean, you know, out of character... You're not going to get contact with Jasper with Big Jasper for a bit because you burned that quirk.
Okay. Okay. Huh. But like, so to be clear, beyond this, I have no way of locating where my frame is and getting.
Oh, you have that. There's just a transmitter on that.
Oh,
thing.
Okay.
You know exactly
okay.
where it is.
Okay. Could I declare? Let's see, what do I have? I could declare...
Great question.
No, I could declare... There we go, remote vehicle control. Could I declare remote vehicle control to bring it to the hangar so I can get in it and do stuff?
You can. As a fan of the player, uh-huh. I will let you know that there will be complications.
Yes.
But yes, you can do that.
I guess where I'm at right now is there's not a lot of opportunity for me to do things I'm good at without my vehicle here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, you can have it come to you or you can go to it, are, I would say, the options.
Would it be
or
easier
you can, you,
for me to go to mm-hmm. it?
I think that is hard to say. What the state you left it in, the last contact you had with it, uh-huh. It was fairly close to the station.
Right.
An asteroid had just blown up and three hostile frames were charging it.
Right.
There is a reasonable assumption they were to some degree intercepted, but there is a hanging question in the air of what state, like, I will tell you it hasn't taken further damage because that's, you know, just mechanically, that's not how this works.
Right.
But, like, it might be a situation where there is a firefight happening nearby, and if it moves, then people will turn their attention to it, but otherwise they will not, in which case going to it would be safer. Or there might be a case where there's a firefight around it, and trying to head into that, you're going to get vaporized.
Right.
It's one of those role-dependent guys, the situation.
Okay. Huh. And how effective is a fine pilot gear sniper rifle against a vehicle without having any cool, like, frame fighting stuff that the giant killer has?
Kind of not. The classic example for Powered by the Apocalypse games is the example of the arrow and the dragon. You can get the one in a million shot, but, like, the GM would have to be feeling very generous and you'd have to roll incredible.
Okay.
But what if you did?
That's the point where I start doing, like, D&D style, like, confirm your crit rolls.
Right.
Wait, hold on. That's a thing in D&D?
Nick, don't get me started.
Confirm your crit. Tell me.
Okay. Well, when you roll a d20 and you get a 20, you don't get the actual critical hit unless you roll the d20 again and get a 20, I think? Oh. Or do you have to just roll high?
It depends on the edition. And some editions don't have this at all.
I've never actually had to do it out of all the times I've played D&D.
Okay. I have an idea of a thing I could do. That would be more effective.
Okay.
I would like to. I can declare a special ammo. I would like to declare a special ammo that is... Okay. I'd like to declare, like, explosive rounds that are specifically designed for destroying debris and, like, destroying rocks and asteroids. And I would like to, in absence of being able to easily get in a frame here or something else, I would like to try and get a good vantage point on this firefight happening first, which maybe that's a separate thing first. Yeah, maybe actually that's what I want to do before declaring anything else. I want to get a good vantage point on this firefight happening. I want to know where Jasper is in relation to those other three frames. I want to know what those other three frames are doing. I want visuals. Where can I go to do that?
I mean, that's a survey, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I could also see a hunt. Either way, you have to, you know, I think what I'll say is, a survey is going to get you better information and advantage for acting on the general situation. Hunt will give you specifically in regards to the commander frame.
I would like that then. I will hunt. I am hunting down. Okay. Well, I am searching for a good place to hunt down the commander.
Sounds great to me. Okay. Please roll hunt.
Cool. This is
it's time for a showdown.
This is...
All right, Hunter, let's have the reckoning.
This is a risky?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have their attention, and there is a light force field.
All right. Is this standard?
Yeah. And also, I will say, just as color, the worker bots are... I think they mostly just get annoyed when you get in their way, and some of them express mild concern for your well-being, but no one's trying to stop you.
Okay. Cool. All right. I am rolling risky standard with two dice.
I'm advancing the data download clock to 2 of 4.
Cool. I was going to ask about that, but I didn't want to butt in.
I rolled a 4.
All right, that's a partial success, as you well know. You get a view here. I think you like head towards the edge of the docking bay, the loading bay, and there is a area where it's like they send out probes. Right, there is a sort of like a spot where there is a gap in the force field intentionally, so they can send out probes for scouting under, like, extreme weather, right? Not literally weather, but it'd be like, oh, the debris is really bad, right? Or, you know, there's a lot of, like, radiation or something. And that is a spot at which you can get a good shot if you want one. Sort of like, I think we get the shot of Forgiveness, like, you get far enough out, and as you're moving out, you feel the artificial gravity, like, wear off. and you can just kind of hook a metal foot on, like, just like, you know, like a railing and like dangle out.
Right. Okay.
And here is what you see. Now, first of all, there is indeed a fight happening in very close proximity to your Nova.
Right.
Your Nova is, like, a little scratched up, but mostly superficial. You don't assume that... It doesn't seem like there's any damage that's going to affect functionality, probably. Mm-hmm. You are, however, from here, you are able to see that there are some, like, status lights that are a little strange. Nothing like reactor critical or anything, but it's kind of like, huh, that's weird that would be the light I get. Three blinking yellow. What does that mean? There are a number of these arsenal frames, these like station launched frames with the briefcases in them. They are not. You can tell that they are retrofitted, and they are not slapdash in that way, but they were not originally designed for military use. And so they are not exceptional machines as far as performance. And I would say there are four of them that have been thoroughly fucked up in the time it took you to get here.
Okay.
Two of the Irem machines are hanging back and sort of providing overwatch. They are firing intermittently, but they are being very careful only to fire when they have a good shot and are not worried about friendly fire. And in the fray is your commander type, who has beam claws, actually, and is kind of just fucking shit up. As you watch, it dodges a beam shot from a rifle from an incredibly short range. Just like, it is, if you imagine a person, right? Imagine a person standing in a hallway, there's another person 15 feet away with a gun, and they fire, and suddenly the person who is standing is just like dropped all the way to the ground, just like dodged in an instant. And then it closes and just shreds its attacker. You can ask questions. I think in this situation you only get one, though.
Okay. How can I bypass this dodging ability? How can I hit it? What can't it dodge?
It couldn't dodge your melting aura if it was close.
Okay.
I think otherwise, if you have a sufficient enough dispersal, if you were able to do some kind of large area or like fragmentation attack, there are decent odds. It also, its movement is like mechanical in terms of like, oh, its reaction times don't seem human, right?
Right.
But the movement doesn't feel purely mechanical. It feels somewhat organic. And so if this is like a cyber enhanced pilot or just, you know, some person with crazy powers or whatever, whatever is controlling this machine, they have a conscious mind. And as such, you would be able to faint or fake them out in some way, possibly.
Okay. All right. I can continue acting, but...
Yes, and I think the other thing I'll give you is, it turns out is the situation where going to it would be safer than bringing it to you. If your suit, like, lights up and its thrusters start moving, that thing is going to lunge for it and try and tear it apart.
Right. Okay.
Fane, how's it going?
Well, I assume that I'm going to be, like, taking over the Overwatch position that the sniper had, and I am looking for where the last two of the squad are. Also, I'm concerned about making sure the download is still going smoothly, but I want to check for the invisible, the troops first.
Okay. That's a survey or a hunt. It's a hunt.
A hunt?
Survey would be less effective.
Okay, I'll take a hunt. I think I might also take a collateral die here, because I don't want to push myself, but it would be nice to have two die.
So this isn't exactly a collateral die, right?
Sure.
But I could just give you a result, and we would roll something else. Finding them could not be the problem.
I see what you mean. Sure. Okay. I'll take that.
I think a door opens on the upper level, and I assume it is both you and them, like, suddenly, like, spinning to face each other with guns out.
I mean, I would have hoped that... I won't say no to that, because, like, it's a cool...
Your position is better. You are behind cover. You have a rifle.
Yeah.
I have a pistol. Well, you killed the guy with the rifle, so you have the rifle.
Oh, you know? You're right. That is how that works.
If you don't want it, you know, listen. But, however, that the reason they are able to do that is because you are still by the guy with the rifle, and they knew where he was.
Mm-hmm.
They were. I keep doing that. I'm bad. Anyway. correcting pronouns that you never knew, because you killed them before they were relevant.
Yeah. So I think that... Where are they on the top level?
They are, like... You are both on the top level. You are on a little outcropping near the middle with a good vantage point. Mm-hmm. They are on a door. I would say they're maybe 40 yards across the way. They would have to, like, run around a walkway to get to you. So, like, a direct line is empty air. They would fall if they were to try to go straight for you.
Makes sense. So I think that... is there any way to get, like, a hailing frequency? Like, saying, just, like... over radio try to reach them to try to communicate, or maybe like through hand signs, like we're in a show, like we're in a like a standoff here, and I would like to at least like talk to them a little.
This would be harder for anyone but you. Risto would be like doing shadow puppets. However, you are the infiltrator, right? You like reach up to your, like, you are pointing the rifle, and without looking, you pull a cable out of your comm, plug it into the comm of the dead man down below, and you've switched to their frequency.
Works for me. I'm thinking of how I'm going to play this.
Risto is doing shadow puppets. He's kind of looking in to see forgiveness.
Well, I have you in my sights here. What's your move?
Let's see. I think you see, there are two figures, and one of them has popped a crouch with a assault rifle up. The other one is behind them with another little carbine that is resting on the shoulder of the one in front.
Okay.
To brace.
Mm-hmm.
The one behind does not seem... It feels like they're pointing their weapon because that's the thing you do, mm-hmm. but their attention is partially on something else, obscured by the person in front. Person in front is the one that responds. And says, I believe we have your way out in ours. And sort of gestures, generally speaking, in the direction of space and where the Nova is currently drifting.
Well, we clearly have cross paths and cross purposes. Is this Are you ordered to eliminate all hostiles, or are you just looking for information? We could cut a deal.
I believe possibilities of deals went out the window when you fired into the back of a compatriot's head without saying hello. I don't trust a deal from you, and frankly, I don't want one.
So mean. Well, I guess that we will have to table that then. And I won't have to feel bad about this. And I'm going to start firing on their position through the with the rifle.
Where are these guys again? In the grand scheme of things?
Both Fane and the two are on the topmost inner deck, right?
The sort of inner area before you head up.
Right. They are on sort of like one of the doors along the outside. Fane is on a pretty close to the middle, sort of an outcropping in the middle that has a good vantage point of the area down below.
Mm-hmm.
Fane is behind cover to a degree that these folks are not. Let's see.
I mean, this could just be a hunt again.
It could. It could. I think that's fair. Okay.
Yeah. And I guess, like, this is already... I mean, this wasn't... Did this count as the collateral die? Who could say?
I mean, it wasn't... I didn't actually give you a collateral die. I kind of gave you a collateral situation.
Yeah, okay.
I gave you literal collateral in forms of the human beings in front of your gun right now.
Yeah.
Well, fox beings, but you know what I mean.
Feings.
Shut up, Nick.
Nick, shut the hell up.
So I'm definitely going to push myself. I'm going to take more stress to try to get a better result here. Working my way through my stress track.
Making my way downtown.
And I assume that I'm in a risky position.
Yes, you certainly are.
Can I push this to a desperate position in order to line up a shot that will try to
hit both of them?
Yeah, hit both of them is a good way of putting it.
Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Okay.
Double kill.
Risk. Desperate, great then.
Yeah.
Do the wrist, though.
Roll a 4-1-3-3.
If you had four die, that would do that. But
I think I'm just going to take it with the one extra die. Is there a collateral die I can take? I have an idea. Like,
I bet there is. I'm listening.
I can. This can be my only shot with the sniper rifle.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I love it when players are the authors of their own demise. Go for it.
Cool. Rolling with three die. And that is three failures.
You did it. You incredible. Did the rest of it. You literally got a 3-1-3. I got a 1-3-3.
Now, please take one experience for rolling a desperate action.
Yeah, well done.
Aiming for that, but I was also aiming for a success in there. Damn.
So this is the fun. This is one of my favorite games on Friends of the Table, right? Which is like, what do you name it? How about level 3 Riddled? How does that sound? Because they, I think the one behind with the carbine is doing pretty much just automatic fire. The one in front is a pro and is giving bursts. You fire. I think in fact you line your shot up. Right? And you have this moment where you're like, it feels like a quick draw showdown, right? Where it's like one of us is like, we're both going to fire at the same time. And it's not. She just fires before you. And she catches you in the shoulder with her first shot, which makes your shot go wide, which wastes your rifle shot. Mm. And then the other ones hit.
I'm going to resist that.
Okay.
And part of my resist is, I think it's fair to say that I was playing around on my tablet earlier, which I want to declare as a remote vehicle control. And I think it makes sense for the recluse to decloak partially and block some of those shots for me. Does that make sense? Like, is that fair to the fiction?
That's... Do you want that?
Rather than take...
Because that's either resolve or expertise.
Sorry, looking at my...
It's almost certainly resolve, in fact, I think. Because it would be primarily based on, like, interface is what you're doing there.
I see what you mean. I was thinking...
I mean, none of your resistance rolls are godly, but no. That is your weakest.
An expertise would use up all three of the rest of my quirks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow it would cause the recluse to break here.
Yeah.
Break down, I suppose I should say. Mm-hmm. Not break. There's a mechanical difference.
Well, how about... Instead of a resistance, how about splitting damage between, like, the shoulder shot still hit, but she clicked a, like, she hit a button on that remote vehicle control to make the vehicle take the rest of the shots?
To downgrade the injury? Okay, that'd be resolve.
Okay.
You can't burn you like I because I can't well, I let just you meant, burn like, three vehicle quirks for harm to your person.
I guess I meant that like something. The I wanted to take it as vehicle damage, but
I mean that's just a free out at that point.
Yeah, okay, fair. I'll take the resolve roll and it's not gonna go well.
You never know.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I guess... I mean... I just looked at some numbers. This
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I'm probably going to get a scar here, but I deserve it. Yeah, I get a scar here. God.
It's a 1d6. That's a 1.
Mm-hmm. So you take 5 stress.
Which I can only take 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that... I will take that shoulder hit for because that is kind of part of the fiction. What level harm do you think that is?
I mean, we said, you did roll the resist, so it gets get downgraded to a level 2. I'm going to say
winged.
It's a little harder than I'm very winged. I'm writing it down.
Very winged.
Stupid. But here we go. Very winged. Wow, it turned into white text with purple. This sheet rules.
Yeah, I like the sheet.
Oh shit.
And
a different color for level 3. Damn.
We can decide your scar later.
Yeah, I have some thoughts, but I think that the way that she is exiting this scene is that she is like the recluse does appear, and I think she's just gonna jump in and start piloting and just disappear, like go off into a corner somewhere in cloak. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think there has to be there's a degree of like it's kind of like the thing where. You know, like a scene ends with someone like getting shot and falling off a cliff and they don't die, but it's like the exit of the scene is ugly and seems bad, right? I think like you could jump in the recluse and the recluse starts to move. And as the recluse runs, you just see like the sergeant, the leader of the squad who was shooting in the controlled bursts. Rises to her feet and like doesn't blink, her eyes are locked on you, her rifle stays perfectly trained, and she like drops the magazine, pulls out armor piercing, slaps it in, and starts to fire, and we see like sparks from the recluse as you dash out of range and out of sight.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Man, Vayne was just so competent and like controlled that whole time.
Listen, we play the characters that we have, we play them honestly, we role play. However, this is a game that works really well when you work together. Don't worry, you'll hear this in character from your commander.
I mean, this is our first mission together, and this is kind of who Fane is. So,
Yeah.
She is a piece of work,
a real tall glass of space water.
Risto, forgiveness. Either of you wanna do something here?
Okay.
Where are you right now, forgiveness?
You can probably see me. I am at the very edge of the hangar, and I am setting up a position to fire at the commander.
Oh. Sorry, never mind. I'm trying not to backseat. I'm a GM. I'm not a player. I'll shut the hell up.
Shut the hell up.
And the
frames that are being readied for takeoff, did you say who they're being piloted by? Or they're just like, looks like frames are being readied, six?
There are briefcases poking out of them. It seems like...
Okay.
Like, imagine that they are very big workers.
A large...
They're probably not, personality-wise, they're probably not workers. But you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But there's still fucking briefcases there. Okay.
I think I tell Risto, I'm going to cause a distraction. It would be great. How would forgiveness say it?
Perhaps you could kill this giant.
Yeah. I am going to cause a distraction. I would like you to do what you do best. The commander is a problem. Let's eliminate that one.
The commander is close to the station? Or, like, they're not battling far out still?
So what we set up was that Big Jasper was firing from, like, basically right next to the station.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, the commander is within, like, reasonable close melee of it. Because the commander, at least in this moment, appears to be a melee specialist.
Okay. Gotcha.
I don't like how you said that. At least in this
moment.
I don't
like giving free information, you know? Listen. Do you want me to be nice? It's not a commander.
Okay.
That's a placeholder
commander.
Term.
There
are a lot of placeholders there for information you don't have.
It's a beryllium sphere is styrofoam. It's plaster.
sorry, just forget him. He works
give
for NASA.
Never give up. Hold on. Okay.
I had no idea what the fuck you were ranting about.
Oh, God. No galaxy so. Quest. Anyway, what is your plan to get out of here after I do what I do best?
Call for extraction once we have eliminated everyone.
Everyone?
Well, not everyone. All hostiles.
How many have you seen?
There are two remaining indoors, as far as we are aware. I think she would say within the station, whatever. No, she would probably find that cute phrasing. There are three vehicles outside of the station.
Three.
Hey, Fane, how are those two inside the station going?
Nothing.
Well, can I answer? Like, I'm not part of the scene, but like, I'm still on in radio.
Oh. Yeah, I'll allow. I mean, we'll limit it in the future because the thing is you disappear from for a while. But yeah, go for it.
They're more of a problem than I thought. I'm hanging back.
Concerning.
Your mech is still outside. How fast is... What was his name?
Jasper?
Greg. Oh.
How fast is Jasper?
Not fast.
So we can't outrun them. Okay. Can you tell me more about what's in the hangar? Is it just like sure. battle frames?
Yeah, so they're arsenal frames. They're retrofitted. So I think they are mostly, a lot of them are painted like a light gray or tan, mm-hmm. right? They are lightly armored with, you know, decent, decent verniers. You can tell they'd have pretty good speed, but not great maneuverability. As far as armaments, they just have a pretty straightforward, like, a sonic blade, lesser than a plasma blade. It is a vibrating metal blade. Mm-hmm. And a basic, like, you know, frame-to-frame combat rifle. A few of them have beam weapons, but it seems like most of them don't have generators capable of sustaining a beam weapon, so they're just, you know, physical ammunition. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, these workers are sort of giving them like the old, like, you know, I think it's funny because these are in fact not really mecha, they're robots, right? Because they're just bodies for the briefcases. It is more personified than a usual mecha. You really get the vibe that these workers are basically like giving them like a water bottle full of Gatorade and slapping on the back and saying, go get out there, champ.
Full of coolant, Gatorade coolant.
That's, of course.
It's G4, right? There's G1. The normal G is G2, and there's G3, but...
You've had Gatorade Cool Blue? That's just short for coolant blue. Like how Chuck is short for Charles.
That's for... Listen, I was with you until you brought Chuck into this. I see. Okay. Going to be honest, I'm not going to go kill three mechs. And we can't run. Do they look like they're still trying to destroy the station? Do you see anything else out there?
They look like they're still trying to destroy the station. Well,
they look like they're still trying to destroy the station.
They're trying to destroy the security complement. And they don't seem super upset about damage to the station in the process. Whether they're trying to, like, rip this place to pieces is you know.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
That's interpretation.
Risto, do you believe that we are, proverbially, screwed?
Fucked? Oh, excuse my French. Yes.
Fucked.
Yes, very much. I haven't heard anything about the... data, so I'm going to assume that's scrapped.
Risto, where are you? Just hanging, like, leaning against the wall at the back of the hangar? Or
us?
You personally.
Me personally. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of on, like, the edge, like, looking around.
I think a couple, like three workers will like run by and well, I get, jog by kind of, and they are collectively holding over their heads a missile. They're doing like 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, and they jog past.
Hey guys, where are you headed?
They're jogging in place and like spin to face you. They're like,
with they're loaded spinning, onto, the, loaded spinning the missile towards me, like, whoa, don't flag me with a missile. Like, bro.
Oh, don't make me roll dice again, Nick. Why would you do that?
Yes.
Such a mean person, really.
It's true.
Okay, well, the D100's all I've got handy, so get ready for some really loud thunks, folks.
Oh my god.
It's like I'm throwing a golf ball at a wall.
That's so bad.
Nice. They say, this one's for Tonoma.
Tonoma.
That's, it's such a great, isn't it a great reward every time I have to pause and roll a die three time and it gets me.
That's not a die. Million. That's like a force of nature. How many more of those things you got?
It's a space station. This is the only D100 I got. Oh, missiles.
all right, Tonoma, let's walk and talk. How many more of these you got?
That's Tonoma. And one of them, like, lets go of the missile for a second with one hand to gesture at one of the big frames, and then quickly swings it back as the missile starts to drop.
Jesus. How many more missiles? How many more missiles are we talking about?
I can't count that high.
Excellent. How many more frames you got?
You see it, the symbol to stop and scan the hangar and say, 5.
Thank you. Can you not count that high? You know, listen,
I felt bad about my counting.
I'm chill one, so I'm not quite sure what happens after chill. So there's chill zero. Wait, what's his name? I forget. Well, Tonoma, sounds like you're ready to go here.
I'm still not Tonoma. Can I kill? That's Tonoma.
Tonoma. I'm looking up at Tonoma. Oh, hey. I think Risto is actually shaking his head. Guys, let's get these missiles loaded, eh? Tonoma, we got to get you out there.
All guys. Right, well, this is okay. Nick?
Yep. So Risto would like to...
go ahead. What's the role you're making here?
Risto wants to try to help these guys load missiles.
Okay. Yep. That sounds to me, let's see. It kind of sounds like a struggle. I know it's not violent, but these are heavy, so you're kind of struggling here.
So you're saying I would need to be strong?
I'm saying strong is a good, yeah.
So would I, you know, it would perhaps be something having to do with pure strength.
I'm not letting you wreck to load missiles. You're right.
What's your collateral die? I know what we're thinking. Yes.
What happens, do you think, when you hurl a missile into its loading bay?
No.
Please feel free.
I'm not talking about loading bay.
I mean, it's a missile bay, but yes.
So these things have like missile bays on them. Is it like
Tonoma does?
How many does he have?
I think like a total number of slots for missiles. Mm-hmm. So the type of missile you are loading, it can carry 20. It has other types 20? Of missiles. 20?
Oh, shit. Okay, how big are these missiles? I was thinking something else.
About 4.5 feet in length.
Oh, that's really not... I mean, it was a lot smaller than I thought. All right.
I mean, they're being carried by 3 workers. They're small.
But these workers are small, too. Yeah. I guess I should have. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesus.
I mean, there are bigger missiles if you want to go for some of the other missile types or something.
Forgiveness. Like what kind of distraction?
I can fire at, I believe, that this vehicle will attempt to dodge out of the way of incoming fire at a very high speed. I could cleverly place a shot so that it will dodge toward you.
You're going to shoot at it.
I'm going to shoot at it. That's the plan. It won't be an effective shot. I am much smaller than it. Smaller than it. Mm-hmm. I would expect it to still dodge.
What happens if you hit the robot with that, the mech with that? I mean, would it cause damage? Just wondering.
It would likely cause minor damage.
Okay. Sounds good.
Tell me again about the special ammo you're loading.
I can... I, well, I... But like, I have multiple things.
Describe what it is.
It could just be armor-piercing rounds. I had a different thought before, but I haven't declared that yet because I changed my mind on what I want, so I could still declare it to be armor-piercing.
You can declare whatever you... I don't know if it tells you what you're allowed to pick. If it does, fuck that list. What do you want it to be?
I mean, it says it can be anything that is effective that gains increased effect against one type of target. So that could be increased effect against a vehicle.
Sure. I think that is a lack of imagination. What would you want to put in this bullet?
I mean, I'd love an EMP round if that would be effective here. Because this seems vaguely electronic.
Sure. Uh-huh. It's electric. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about EMP for a second. Okay. I'm going to want you to sort of pick a style of EMP here.
Okay.
Are you trying to, like, blind this thing, as it were, overload its sensors?
Uh-huh.
Are you trying to do damage to its internal wiring? Are you attempting some manner of electronic warfare? Or, what's a good... Or are you trying to, like, sort of overload it with excessive current for a moment?
Probably overload it. But I think that would probably have a somewhat similar effect to overloading the sensors.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay.
So more of like a disable, not a damage.
I'm figuring out how effective it would be because I know what that thing is.
It does not need to actually be effective at hitting it. It needs to be effective at getting it to dodge out of the way so that Risto can hit it.
Okay. So mechanically speaking, Risto doesn't necessarily seem convinced at the go at it in person approach, so this is all theoretical. However, what you are describing sounds to me like a setup action.
Yeah.
Where you roll in order to create a better position or effect for a second player's roll.
Yeah. That is exactly what I would like to do.
Okay. That does depend on the second action occurring. And so I won't, like, if you still want to go ahead, but like if Risto doesn't want to do this, which sounds like how it's been put to me.
I think hold for that. So I guess in character, like we've discussed this, like I know that you have an EMP round.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're teamworking. I'm like, I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to walk over to Forgiveness now. Let's have these robots.
Oh, fucking... did you walked over to Forgiveness?
Yes. Well, I mean, no,
Oh, thank God. No, you said it. I heard you. Those were the words you used.
Well, no. It's much more exciting than that. I was, you know, running. Okay. I was kind of jogging with the robots over to Tonema.
Okay.
Tonema is on his way, you know, to Forgiveness.
Well, Tonema's standing still because it's being loaded.
Right. Well, you know, wherever. I imagine them being, you know,
wow,
close to the edge.
The thing I care about is now you are finally within line of sight of this robot.
Right. I didn't realize. No.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That's why I asked about whether you were at the back of the hangar. It can't see you from back there.
I mean, I figured. I didn't know that's where it was. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Risto didn't know that's where it was.
The head spins. And it's got an interesting... I think you are used to a couple of types of heads on these machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very common, you get like imitation human faces where they have two eyes. You get your classic Gundam mono eye, right? Like one eye that sort of darts around a screen. You have ones that are just a screen, right? There's no visible eye. It just has a sort of a camera lens, as it were, mm-hmm. right? And there are ones like this that are like compound eyes, right? Like if looking at it from a distance, it looks like it has like a three-tiered visor, but you know that visor is made up of hundreds and hundreds of cameras, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it becomes more clear because like normally they're all glowing and sometimes some of them will turn off or something depending on a different scan pattern. And this scan pattern looks eerily like someone narrowing their eyes at you. And the commander, as we've been calling it, begins to rapidly close on the hangar.
So there's Tonema. How many other like robot workers are in Frames? Or is it just him?
As far as robots that are mecha, there are three in the hangar, Tonema and two others, and then two that are unmanned.
Oh, okay. So they're extent. Okay, I get what you mean. Okay, they're just big robot workers. Okay, gentlemen, now is the time. Tonema, get the fuck out there.
That sounds like a command to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to be charming.
Please roll command.
I'll go ahead and do nothing else. All right, I'm commanding. What are my deets?
Doesn't matter. Okay, you are going to be rolling 2d6. This is... This is desperate standard.
Take the lower one. Five. What the hell?
Five
and a six. Oh, you're so close to the six.
No one's ever been close to me, baby. I'm elusive.
Folks, okay. This is your command speaking. We ride for Narnia.
I thought you were control, says someone as Tonema launches. There's steps into like a sort of a steam catapult style situation. Probably not actually steam, but you know the sort, like rapidly throws Tonema out. And Tonema has barely cleared the force field when it just opens up with the missiles. Tonema has made the calculation that with this thing closing to melee, it is probably gonna get fucked up, and it might as well get all its ordnance off first.
Oh, Tonema.
What a fella. And you see like missiles fly in, and it is the commander like suddenly like comes to almost a dead stop. You'd be like, if there's someone in there, they must have a real good G suit, because that would fucking slam you against the front of the cockpit, as it just comes to an instant like stop on a dime, and then like zips backwards a little bit, zips forwards, spirals, kicks off of a larger missile. Right, just like foot on the side of it, pushes it aside, and then a cloud of them slam into it. It dodged a lot, but a lot got him.
What the fuck was...
And then a red glow bursts through, and the machine is missing an arm, but now Tonema is missing a chest. Tonema's done.
Oh, fuck.
And the machine is,
I know, I would this frame. Say
close enough to the bay now that you can see like its thrust like rippling on the force field. What were you saying? You said you know this frame?
Forgiveness? Yes. Shit. I know this frame.
I just discovered I can. Did anyone else see what I'm doing?
No. What are you doing?
I can spin the text. Apparently, when I'm actively spinning it, so there's the clocks are labeled, and if I hold down my mouse, I could just spin my mouse, and it spins like a wheel.
It doesn't actually.
They can't see that, unfortunately.
It doesn't spin on our sides until you let go.
Yeah, but when you let go, it's just.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, I know this frame extremely dangerous. Did we see anything about the other two, or
they're very standard, like very standard normal forces from Irem, just like the rank and file kind of mecha they launch out.
I don't think I'm particularly listening to what Risto is saying, because I am gunning it. Seeing the commander move from its position near Jasper, Big Jasper, I am just going to start gunning it directly at Jasper, and also probably using the remote vehicle control.
Are you like
to?
So you're like leaping past?
Yes.
Oh shit.
Okay. Yeah. That's not a roll.
Okay.
Go for
cool.
It.
I want to be in Jasper now.
What?
It is going to take a second for you to reach
okay.
it.
Okay.
There's a little bit of drift time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think the lights on the visor, the various cameras sort of like wink on and off like stars as it is staring at you, Risto. And it lifts a hand, and you can see from this distance it has very very Taloniousness hands, right? Mm-hmm. Very Talonian-y, very sharp hands.
Yeah.
And they alight with a plasma blade energy along each finger, and it pinches them together, and it starts to, like, just with a very slow deliberateness, push through the barrier pointed directly at you.
Uh-huh.
What was the name of the planet on which you destroyed that experimental AI mecha?
I thought I didn't.
And you didn't, like, you didn't destroy it as far as, like, you didn't scrap it. You took it out of the fight.
Oh, I did.
You forced it away. Yes. That was your achievement, is basically getting it to stop.
Prawn.
What planet was that? Tron? Prawn?
Prawn.
Prawn, like the fish?
P-R-O-N. Okay.
You child. All right.
What yes, is, get early, your mind early out of
internet
the
speak for porn. Good work.
Wait, is it? No, well.
Yes. Yes. So you said it now.
A child and being, well, I guess, you know.
I guess it's a different kind of being a child where you did, mm-hmm. you're too young to know that. Yep. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, there's. Yeah. It's your old friend.
It's my seems happy to friend. See you. Definitely. Forgiveness, where the. I'm just counting. Where are you going?
Do what you do best.
Yeah, so Risto recognizes this as an extremely unusual AI. Basically, you know, he's mumbling in his breath. Just beginning to run at this thing like I fucking told him so. Do you encounter this thing before? It looks like it's not human by the way it moved, obviously. The Alliance did not believe me. Risto's gonna... he's got, you know, fine anti-mech blade. Let's just say he has two of them now.
Yes. Visually, sure.
Yes, visually.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure.
I think you grab it and you just split it in two, right?
Yep, grab it, split it in two.
Two linked together.
And is going to throw a grappling hook at this thing and try to... Just say, you know, he's trying to attack on Titanit. Grappling hook onto the arm that's pushing up and try to throw himself at it.
You know, I think it probably
he's
wouldn't be very
red.
Good. You could roll struggle here, mm-hmm. though I feel like this would be better as a wreck.
Real? Oh, interesting. You know, I guess that probably, it is kind of, you know, okay. Yeah.
That's the joke. Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep, so.
Do you want to push yourself? Do you want to collateral die?
I am gonna push myself, Risto once again, but kind of more so now that, you know, he's had time to warm up, just kind of exploding, just, starts sprinting towards this thing, starts to glow red again, like kind of cracks in the, wait, thank you, you stressed me out. You added stress yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's glowing red, and he's gonna throw a grappling hook at a giant, mecha thing with two glowing, plasma blades.
Well, do me a favor then and roll 4d6. Desperate, great.
Excellent. Let's go ahead and roll.
Oh my god.
So
that's a 6. There's also a 1 in there. But that's a 6.